This is the Alpaca Podcast for all things alpaca. If you're an owner, a soon-to-be owner, a want-to-be owner, or are just alpaca mad or love the fleece, welcome to the Alpaca Tribe. I'm Steve Hetherington. Hi, Steve here, and welcome to the podcast for alpaca people. Hope you're doing well. It's good to see you again. So have you ever noticed how alpacas walk? It's interesting to kind of be around and watch them. Oh, no, that's a problem. I've discovered over the time that when you're around, it alters their behavior. Have you noticed that? It's one of those things. It's not surprising, really, that if you're around, the way they are, the way they're affected by your presence, and they're kind of interacting with you and with each other slightly differently because of your presence. Is there a way around that? Well, I think there is if you spend more time with them. Oh, I knew. It was guaranteed, wasn't it? Steve's going to say, go spend some time with your alpacas. Yeah. Well, I would, and I will later on. But there is that sense of being around them, and you need to be kind of ignored almost. You need to spend enough time in their presence to be ignored. So start off by watching your alpacas walk. How do they walk? Is there a way? What's the sequence? How do they walk with their four legs? And how do they put their feet in relation to the other feet as they're walking? Are they walking a tightrope? You get that sometimes where an alpaca will walk and will kind of almost put feet in a line. But it's all to do with the conformation. The conformation is the bone structure, the physical structure of the animal, and how they move and the size and proportions and all that kind of stuff. That's the conformation. Not confirmation, conformation. And it all depends how things are lined up as to whether they're going to be walking a tightrope or there's just a general kind of movement. Some of them are very fluid in their movements and they've got a lovely gait and they just move so beautifully. It's a joy to watch. Some are a bit more clunky. Poor old Hermione, dear old Hermione, old girl. I'm finding with her hips, her back hips, back legs, are definitely a little bit clunky. Bless her. They're kind of loosened up a lot, and you can see there's not as much stability there. This is because she's about 18 and a bit. She's still bright-eyed, still very attentive, watching what I'm doing, making sure that I'm not working on cornering her somehow. She's ever suspicious. I don't think I've spent a lot of time giving her problems, but she's very aware. It's just her nature, I think. And some of the others, the way they move is very distinctive. You can tell by the, if you're just watching the legs almost, you can tell who it is. And so do spend a bit of time watching them from the back if you can, and watching how the legs work together, how the feet fall one after the other. Watch them from the side and see how the movement is. You could try watching them from the front as well if they're going to walk towards you, but try and view them from different angles and just see what it is that's going on. Watch the movement. How are they going? It's like how they sit down, how they cush. Do they start at the back or the front? I always love it with the babies, the Kriya, when they're just young, just a few days old. They're kind of, I'm going to sit down now. And then they can't quite work out which leg to start with. Do they start at the front or the back? And they just kind of flop down and tuck their legs under them as quickly as possible. No, I did it. I did it very elegantly. You just didn't notice. So they actually start with the front and they kind of kneel and then they tuck the legs at the back under them and then they thing. So there's a bit of a rock backwards and forwards, but they start at the front and then do the back down and then tuck the front under. It's quite a quite an engineering feat to get these long legs to tuck under their body. And they sit, and that's how they cush, how they sit compactly with their legs under them. You can see sometimes towards this time of year, just before the shearing that we're about to do here, then the feet as they go back, they kind of touch against the knees. And you just kind of notice, and you see it before the shear, but also after as well, you see these little dark marks and things. And some of the fleece gets flattened down. So they cush and they sit like that. How do they sleep? Have you thought about how they sleep? How does an alpaca sleep? Well, they actually stretch out their neck. They don't lie down. Oh, they will lie down, but they're usually sunbathing and or lying down just to have a roll in the grass or whatever. But when they kind of resting and sleeping, they cush, tuck the legs under them, and then they'll stretch out the neck forward and just touch the chin, bottom of their jaw, gets touched on the ground. And this is kind of an arc of the neck joints and all the rest of it. It's just kind of in balance then and at rest. So watching the physical movements of the alpacas is ever fascinating. I do enjoy that. The other thing with walking with alpacas, many places offer people to come and visit and to walk the alpacas, to actually have a halter and a lead, and they'll take them for a walk. And that's great. I think, you know, this whole kind of trekking with alpacas and llamas is a fascinating experience for people to get up close and to spend some time with an alpaca in that way. We didn't ever do that. Partly because we just didn't have the animals trained and the necessary attention to that. But we would spend time and people would visit and we'd walk among the alpacas. So it's this thing of spending time in their midst and they would relax and get used to you being around. And some of them would come over and have a sniff. Owena, we had visitors just a couple of days ago. And that was fascinating. So. Shout out to Kirsten and Sandra. They came to look at the fleece and talk about the whole kind of sustainability and more importantly, regeneration in relation to material and fashion, which is quite interesting to hear what they were doing, what they're doing in terms of people they're working with. And how alpacas could fit into that. So that's there's some links in the episode notes if you want to go check that out. So, yeah, she'll come over and she'll have a sniff and she'll check people out. And others will tend to hang at the back, but they're kind of okay when you've got people in. If you're moving slowly and walking among them, then they kind of go back to grazing. They go back to ignoring you. And that was my suggestion, really, that you spend enough time with them to get them to relax and to take little account of you. I don't think they ever completely switch off. But if they're used to you being around and almost count you as part of what's going on there, then you can find a way of mixing into the herd. And so you're walking with the alpacas. And get a very different kind of experience. And some people who've done the walking alpacas on with a halter and lead and also come here and spend time walking among them, they recognize it was a different kind of dynamic going on. I'm not sure there's any kind of right or wrong in that at all. We're not suggesting that, but it's just different. It's a different kind of feel, different kind of experience. They're not being held or restrained. They're just there and you're in the middle of them. They're a nosy lot. They really are a nosy lot. So they tend to hang around, particularly if you're standing around talking and not paying them much attention, then they'll kind of relax more and then they'll go back to sitting or chewing the cud or all those things that alpacas do. So if you can, spend some time in their midst. So walking with alpacas, it's metaphor as well, isn't it? How you spend your life with, share your life with these amazing animals. It's been a long time, 16 plus years now, that we've been walking with alpacas. It's been quite a journey and some interesting times. Interesting in the sense of, oh goodness, this is way out of my depth. I'm not sure how can we do this. But also interesting, fascinating. My curiosity forever being piqued by all kinds of little bits and pieces. It's interesting from so many different dimensions. Also challenging at times. And as I was talking about last week, trying to put you off. No, I wasn't putting you off, but trying to be realistic about what it means to keep alpacas and what you're committing yourself to if you were even thinking about having your own. So those things are important. But that longer journey of walking with alpacas sharing your life, is a wonderful experience. And if it's possible, and it's something that you've got the heart for and the passion for, and you can find a way of making it happen, I would strongly recommend it. Give it serious consideration. Don't jump in. Don't just get enthusiastic. Don't have those romantic notions, but do think about making space for having that experience. And if you can't live with them permanently, at least you could go visit some. And that would be a relaxing, interesting, satisfying curiosity kind of visit. And if you're able to kind of be in their midst for a while and just kind of chill. Talked before about sitting with them. If you can have a deck chair or a folding chair or something, you can kind of sit down and they'll come over. They find that endlessly fascinating. I get a queue of them when I do that, with sit down with a chair. I don't do that so often. I'm happy to sit on the ground. But if you do it with a chair, they somehow your feet are more exposed. And they'll come over, and they definitely, there's a queue of them. They come over and have a sniff of my Wellingtons. Smell my feet. Just, what's he doing? Sitting in the field like this, on a chair. What's he doing? And they've got to come over and check you out. They are very funny animals. Humorous, funny, as well as strange. Funny. I delight. So, we're getting closer, which is keeping an eye on the weather. And hopefully by the end of this week, we'll have made some kind of start. Just when we think we've got it all laid out and planned out, the weather forecast, at least, the weather forecast shifts. Oh no, more damp coming in. So, but eventually we're going to get to the point where we can do it. And hopefully we're going to catch them before it gets really hot. I've been noticing a few flies around. I think there were blue bottles more than green bottles, maybe something. So I'm just keeping an eye and an ear out and an eye out, definitely. Corner of your eye job, just to see if there are signs of flies around. Keep an eye on the ones, particularly with longer fleece and any that are susceptible really to having fly strike. If you can avoid it, that's a really good thing to do. We've got some spray, which kind of, we got the spray for generally keeping flies away, but we got some specifically that will protect, will deal with an infection and a problem of fly strike if you get it, but will actually also prevent flies and kill off any that try and lay their eggs. Yeah, don't want that. So just this mix really, isn't it, of the damp and the heat. And it keeps flicking backwards and forwards, at least where we are. And we're getting quite a number of really quite warm days or quite warm sections to the day. It doesn't necessarily go the whole day, but it's also quite damp still. And that's that mixture. That's the thing that really seems to be. So I don't know. It's particularly different. Am I watching more intently? I'm not sure. But flies haven't been quite normal so far this year. We've had much less of them. But they're coming, I know they're coming. I'm about a month away from the big horse flies, because they usually arrived in July, so also looking forward to that. So Yep, doing the final bits of preparations and been mucking out and clearing out and sweeping out and getting everything ready. The girls saw me doing that, brushing down the mats, giving them a good old scrub, stacking them up on their side rather than letting them sit on them, or more particularly when they're left in the stable, they quite often get wet and mucky from the poo, which gets deposited. Some of them are not very specific about where they're adding to the poo pile inside the stable. So I've left them standing on their edge, nice and clean, ready for the shearing. Don't want to clean them all again. So that's in hand. So the girls are starting to see me making the preparations, and I know they know. Some are really quite bright, and they know that something is coming, and it won't be long. But I think they're looking forward to that. Still having that mixture of cold weather, though. During the day sometimes, but particularly at night, still quite, when the sky's open, the temperature does drop quite a bit, variably. Yeah, but it's still quite cold and uncomfortable. If you did have your fleece and now you don't, I might be too soft. Mm. You have to do it when you have to do it. So if you've already done or have the shearers booked, then that's going to be how you have to work with it. That's most people have to do that. We have the luxury of being able to do it ourselves, but it takes a lot longer because we're fitting it in between rain and the other commitments that we've got. So there you go. If you can, go spend some time with your alpacas. Walk with your alpacas. Walk among your alpacas and watch them move. Just see what you can learn from the way they actually move. Take care. Bye for now.
This is the Alpaca Tribe, and I'm Steve Hetherington. Have a great day.